This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hey, this is John with a quick introduction. So while K. Scott Allen was at Software Passion Summit, he recorded four really good, very short interviews. And so I'm putting them out as four separate podcasts. If that really bugs you, don't worry, because there's only four of them, and then we go back to the long, rambling ones. Thanks.
Okay, at the Software Passion Summit, I attended a talk by Douglas Crockford in one of the fullest rooms I've ever been in. You packed the room. There was hardly any oxygen left. And you featured JavaScript in your talk, but the title and your opening hypothesis, if you will, was that the human brain really wasn't designed for this sort of work. What were we designed for?
Well, we were selected for hunting and gathering. So those skills allowed us to survive the Ice Age. But we have not improved since then. So somehow we've been able to build civilization and the technology necessary to support that. But there's nothing in our evolutionary background to suggest why we were able to do that.
And then you turned this into some defensive programming tips with JavaScript, which I thought was interesting.
Well, we have to program with the same brain that we were born with. And there is nothing in our evolutionary background to have prepared us for programming. So it's a miracle that we're able to do it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you've written a wonderful book, JavaScript, The Good Parts, and you've really been a thought leader in this space for years now. And JSLint, which was one of the tools that you talked about today, too. Tell me about JSLint.
JSLint is a code quality tool for JavaScript. It turns out all languages should have code quality tools. But JavaScript more than perhaps any other because of its strange mixture of good parts and bad parts. Its good parts are extraordinarily good, which for me put it near the top of the list of all the best programming languages of all time. But it's also burdened with having some of the worst parts ever put into a programming language, many of which are not unique to JavaScript, but seem to be intensified in JavaScript. And so JSLint is a tool which makes it easier to manage the good-bad divide within the language.
And you made a couple references to C++ and how things sort of compared, things like the increment operator, which maybe isn't such a good idea anymore these days.
Yeah, increment was created to make it easier to do pointer manipulation. And we have now learned that it's bad to do pointer manipulation. That's one of the things Java got right compared to C++, and that it took pointer arithmetic out. But we still have this operator. It's this vestige that's left over from Ken Thompson's experiment with pointers. And so we have the way you add two to something is syntactically very different than the way you add one to something. And there's not a good reason for why those two should be different.
Yeah, that's true. Something I've been wondering personally, now that I have you here, is sort of where is JavaScript headed? I know in the talk you referenced a couple features that will be here with us in the future, but of course it's kind of complicated because we try to maintain backward compatibility with all the browsers. Where do you think things are going? Or are they moving fast enough for you or too slow?
Well, the thing that's difficult for JavaScript is being the language of the web, it's difficult to change it. Like if you're running Java in a server, you get to pick which version of the VM you're going to run. And if you don't trust that, you know, Oracle's doing a good job, you can just stop upgrading and freeze where you are. On the web, we have this problem where we cannot dictate what version of the VM is going to run. And in the worst case, we need to be prepared to run on every version of JavaScript that has ever shipped. And the programmer is somehow expected to make that work. It doesn't make any sense, but that's the world we're in. So if we add a bunch of new stuff, in the short term, all we do is make the lives of web developers worse because they're expected to take advantage of the new stuff, but also keep working on the old stuff. And that turns out to be pretty close to impossible. So in the next edition of ECMAScript, we're making a bet. In the fifth edition, we didn't add new syntax. So all of the goodness that's in the language can be added without causing breakage on older browsers. But that's not true in the next one. There's going to be a lot of new syntax, new statements, new operators, lots of stuff. The bet we're making is that IE6 and its brothers will be dead and gone before the next edition of the standard comes out.
There was a time when I seem to remember work in the ECMAScript space that involved interfaces and type checking and things like that. Where did that end up?
There was a proposal for ECMAScript 4th edition, but that proposal was much too complicated and it was never finished.
Okay. And ECMAScript 5 is about things like use strict, which is completely backward compatible, right?
Right. The weird way that we use strict is a pragma, which says I want to take out some of the bad things that are very hard to take out of a language. So you have to explicitly opt into it. But we wanted to be able to opt in a way which was not going to cause syntax errors on older browsers. So the way we came up to do that was using one of the misfeatures of the language, the useless expression statement. If you have a useless expression statement as the first statement of a function, and if that useless expression is the string use strict, then that puts you into strict mode. And on older browsers, it's simply ignored. And there's a big intersection of stuff that works in strict mode and stuff that works on the old browsers. So you can write good programs in that intersection, and they'll work on the old browsers, and it'll be much better and stronger going forward.
And so this is something that you would suggest developers or start doing today, is a combination of use strict and JS lint and things like that.
Yeah, my advice is be working in the intersection of the third edition and the strict part of the fifth edition. The strict mode will be the basis of the future language. So if you're developing stuff that doesn't work in strict mode, then you're not going to work in ES6.
Okay, very good. I want to thank you for talking to me, and I enjoyed the talk greatly today.